This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Sunday, December 3rd at the time that we are recording this. And today, Damon, we have got a mixed bag to talk about. We're going to talk a little World Tag League, including what was, in my opinion, the best match of the tournament thus far. We're going to give you guys our picks for the 2017 New Japan Purocast Year End Awards, which, by the way, voting closes Friday, December 15th, and we've got some Access TV Wrestle Kingdom news to talk about today. So, lots going on in the world of New Japan, Damon. How about it?
It's exciting time, right? We're starting to swing into the holiday season, and we all know what that means, kids. It's a big building in Tokyo that's going to hold, if my prediction holds true, Colin Miller, I said over 40. I said over 40, and you know, I think people are starting to lean my way a little bit.
I'm saying we get in the high 30s.
I mean, listen, that's a nice – I like to think outside, not think outside the box. I don't think it's thinking outside the box. I just like to be confident and be shoot for the stars. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say, Colin. I like to shoot for the stars. I mean, I think with the brisk ticket sales that we've seen so far, right? And you know, there's always that walk up. The only thing that's holding that back to me in my eyes, Colin, is that this year, the 4th of January is a Thursday.
Yes.
Might be a little bit of a struggle when it's midweek, but I just think there's such a buzz, and there's so many fucking people coming in for these shows, Colin. Have you seen all this shit online? Everybody's going. You're the only person not coming from North America, apparently.
Apparently, the host of the most popular New Japan Pro Wrestling podcast will not be there yet again. Well, you know what? I mean, it's a 14-hour plane ride, man.
That's what I'm not looking forward to the most, man. Even as I sit here and, you know, and people text me in 25 days, 30 days, you know, we're all excited, but whew, that 14-hour plane ride, man, is fucking brutal.
Do especially you think, for like, maybe us and some people from the NJPW subreddit and some people from the Classic Board, maybe we can all put our money together next year.
A plane?
Charter like a jumbo jet. It could be like a party jet.
Ah. Colin, I don't think I would be able. I would be locked up before I hit the ground.
We should start that now. Actually, we should get the word out.
Yeah, we'll see if we can. You know how much? I mean, that's ridiculous money, right?
Well, it's not like we're buying the jet. We're just renting it out, and we're chartering it, right?
Well, as soon as you get those T-shirts up for sale, I think that's probably going to be how we're going to pay for that.
Yeah, right? those will be up in the new year, one way or another.
Listen. I need to hear. And again, somebody can isolate this audio. Colin, when can we expect these T-shirts?
Spring 2018.
Okay. All right. We missed the holiday season. We missed the holiday rush.
We did, and a lot of that falls on me. But it'll be coming soon. Don't you worry.
All right.
There's a lot going on in the life of Colin Miller, Damon. A lot you don't know about. A lot I don't share.
Listen, I know more. Stop that. I know it all. And you are very busy. You lead an exciting life. Your extravagant lifestyle is moving you on west, we'll just say. So we're excited for that. All right, look, Colin, I don't know if you know this. There's a tag tournament that's going on right now involving some of the best tag teams in the world. Well, maybe that's not true, but a lot of decent teams.
Some very, very good teams, rest assured.
Yes. Now, I'm gonna let you steer this boat, as you always do, because you are the host of the world-famous New Japan PureCast. I'm just the glitter. Where should we go first? You want to go year-end awards, which are wrapping up very soon, and we've gotten so many responses. Again, I can't thank that Sean enough for that Google Doc, because imagine me having to count 800 fucking emails. Are you kidding me?
I don't want to think about that.
I would be crying. I would be like, awards are canceled. We're not doing them. Have fun in Tokyo, Colin. That would be impossible. But yes, we have an unbelievable turnout for the votes. And again, if you are a procrastinator or you still haven't figured out your votes, you only have a short amount of time left. So get in there. You don't want to miss out on the fun. The links can be found on our Twitter account?
Way to find them. You go to our Twitter account. You go to our Facebook page. The link is posted right at the top. It's pinned.
It's right there. It's pinned. It's taking a three count. And again, vote for your favorite wrestler. You can vote for the wrestler of the year, your tag team of the year. And we're going to go over our picks. Let's do that now. We're going to do that now instead of talking about World Tag League.
Well, how about this? There's one thing in particular regarding World Tag League that I want to talk about. And that is the Jeff Cobb and Michael Elgin versus Best Friends match that took place on the November 30th show. Damon, let me tell you, what a diamond in the rough that match was. And not only was that match the best match of the World Tag League so far, but in my opinion, that was one of the best heavyweight tag matches in general that we've seen all year.
That's saying something. I mean, if we're discounting your multi-mans, we're discounting we're just talking a straight up heavyweight tattooed tag team, right?
Actually, I was basically thinking about all of the heavyweight tag matches for the title.
Okay, yeah. So just IWGP title matches, right?
Right.
I think you're on to something on that one.
It's got to be one of the best heavyweight tag matches of the year. I mean, what a joy and what a surprise this was to watch.
Well, they do have, I mean, I don't want to say a history, but I'm sure each of those guys have worked together in some capacity in the States.
Oh, sure.
On the indie scene. PWG, I'm sure.
Bunch of indie darlings. Spot monkeys.
Probably thinks he works 7 foot.
Yeah, probably.
You don't want to, inside jokes, kids. Inside jokes, my bad. Look, I can't, I'm trying to think. And, a War Machine match against, I mean, G.O.D.? I mean, I'm trying to... And the thing with those matches, it's not, most of that is on War Machine.
Yeah, like War Machine is really the glue that's kind of holding those matches together, truth be told. But man, in this match, you just had two teams rather, who, like you said, probably had somewhat of a familiarity with one another, right? And they just went out there and they just tore it up and had an objectively great match in, let's face it, not one of the most exciting tournaments of the year, not one of the most exciting times of the year. And it's kind of funny, I kind of posed a question on Twitter the other day, and I said, so thus far, what has been your standout in the World Tag League? And one of the responses I kind of had to laugh at, they just said, when it's over.
it's really weird because you could tell by just the lack of conversation about it and the lack of interest in it. You can go on any one of those Reddit threads and they post something every at the end of every show, like one comment, two comments.
There's very little buzz.
And it's but that's what it is. And we're not shitting on the product. This is the World Tag League. This is what that has become. And even though they have brought in new, fresh names and new, fresh talent, who I think are doing fairly well, but I got to be honest, up until this point, I mean, Chuck Taylor hasn't, wowed anybody, right? There's not a lot going on with that until that match.
No, I don't think that there's going to be a large conglomerate of people petitioning for Chuck Taylor to be in New Japan more.
And that's not to say he didn't. He's just there. I mean, that
right.
He's just there. And again, he's filling a spot because a lot of the other guys, and I think rightfully so, are getting some much needed time off. Okada being one of them. Naito and Omega being one of them. Okada and Naito being in tag matches. I saw Tanahashi just in a tag match, a really good tag match with Kawato. I fucking love that kid so much. That was at that Korakuen show on the first. Same though show that you were talking about here. I think that whole show was a really good show.
That was on the 30th, I thought.
The 30th was it? Okay, yeah, okay, okay. I thought that whole show, I watched that show from beginning to end. Colin, they had a Bullet Club match. It was like a multi-man tag. Bullet Club against, who was in his Juice and Sammy Callahan and a whole mix mash of people. But I thought that was really fun. I really enjoyed that. Second match of the show.
Didn't catch that one. The main thing I wanted to see from this show was that Best Friends versus Elgin Cobb match, just because on paper, I mean, that's the match that stood out to me, and maybe that's one of the matches in the World Tag League as a whole that I wanted to see the most, and I gotta say, it really delivered. I would give this at least 4.25 stars, actually.
I put out a 4, and that's, I think that's a, I mean, especially
a quarter for these guys working their ass off during the World Tag League.
But that's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? It's like, this is a middle of the tournament show. Again, it's Korakuen Hall. Again, it's a good spotlight for them. You know, it was this semi-main. What was the main?
The main was KES versus War Machine, I believe.
Okay. We'll talk about that in a second. Low energy. but
again,
it's
more inside baseball, folks.
you give guys like that, Beretta, Chuck T, Elgin, Cobb, an opportunity to do their thing and do their shit. And Cobb and Elgin, I really enjoy as a tag team. I really do enjoy them.
I'll tell you what, I was just thinking recently, you know, Matt Riddle's loss was Michael Elgin's gain, because I think that we found a tag team here who I think a lot of people who are watching this tournament would love to see stick around in New Japan for the future. And I don't know if
that
it's
would
just
be
me,
great.
But I really think that both these guys are over with the Japanese audience. I think that they really welcomed Jeff Cobb right away, just because he's, you know, kind of cut from that same Elgin cloth, you know, the big kind of stocky, bulky power guy.
Yeah, when you're showing off with those suplexes.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite spots.
Yeah, being that we're talking about that match in particular. I mean, when they're trading, and some of this has to go to Trent, because you know he's got to keep he's got to keep those legs, you know, up in the air. Sounds hotter than it is, but he, you know, when they're transferring him back and forth with the suplexes, right? Do you remember that spot?
Oh, of course I remember that spot.
And they're just passing him along like he's, you know.
They've been doing that a lot actually throughout the whole tournament.
That's a fun little spot. A lot of power going on there. Look, I called them as my pick for the winners, and they're still absolutely in the mix. But I've enjoyed their matches the most. Elgin and Cobb. Elgin and Cobb had a great match. Not maybe I shouldn't go great, but a really good match with Ishii and Yano from earlier in the tournament that I watched. I thought that was really good.
How did Yano do in that match?
I mean, Yano was Yano. He's on doing fucking turnbuckles and ball spots and, you know, all that nonsense. But you would have hated it. You would have been screaming
sure.
at your TV. You would have been screaming at your TV. As a matter of fact, I would go so far as to say that your comment probably would have been, Yano is ruining what is potentially a great match.
I mean, I'm sure that he did. You just swap out Yano for Goto, and then you've got yourself a meal that you could sit down to the table at. But once you put in Yano, it's like It's like a steak in a Happy Meal bag.
You got a delicious treat, Colin. What are you saying? Would you rather have seen a Yoshihashi in the Yano spot?
Yeah, I think that would definitely be a step up. Yoshihashi's no slouch. I could see him and Ishii having a good match against those guys.
Mm. Look, I think at the end of the day, what we're looking for is, and begging for, at least I can speak for myself on this one, we got to find a way. You know, we talk about how Elgin is misused. We talk about how there's got to be something behind the scenes there that it's just not happening. You know, whatever. You know, people forget that this is still pro wrestling, right? And that there are personalities involved, and that there are
politics
involved. And as much as we want to sit here and glamorize and pretend to think that we know what goes on behind the curtain when we really have no fucking idea, there could be many things in play here as to why somebody gets a push and why somebody doesn't get a push.
Could just be because there's no current spot for them.
Okay, it could be, but
could also be more.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. So who knows, right?
I don't know.
But I don't know. We don't get texts.
No.
No. I guess what, at the end of the day, we're hoping for is this. I think a tag team of Michael Elgin, Cobb, that's a nice way to get us through the doldrums of the beginning of the year. After
that's Dash. A tag team that you can really sink your teeth into as a fan of New Japan Pro Wrestling. There's a team that fits right in with the rest of the roster.
Now, if we're going to sit back and say, okay, War Machine, Cobb and Elgin, I would absolutely be into that. Cobb and Elgin against Goto and a Chaos member of your choosing, maybe an Ishii. I mean, the possibility there is nice. That's two programs that can get you through those winter months, right?
That's
good stuff. And now we're finally paying attention to a heavyweight tag team division, right? Because I'm going to be honest. Aside from War Machine, there's, and I know that there's a million different, you know, everybody's going to talk about how different it really. What teams have really lit a fire under your ass? All right, Sonata and all right.
In 2017, are we talking?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk. So heavyweight tag teams in 2017 that really did something for you, and you saw some blowaway matches.
War Machine,
yeah, War Machine. Right. Again, that's the name that comes to the forefront. Sonata and Evil,
yeah. I mean, being that they were in the Never Mix, right?
Right. The Never Trios belts,
right. Right, but okay. So let's just say, you know, let's just strip out the Bushi, and
strip out the Bushi.
That sounded hotter, more hotter than it was. We'll strip out the Bushi.
Strip out the Bushi. That could be a hit song.
I think so. I think that'd be a nice little Bushi.
Strip out the Bushi. There you go. Little hit.
Yeah,
they call me the hit maker for nothing. They don't call me the hit maker. Anyway.
Yeah. All right. I can't get that out of my head now.
I'm sorry.
I mean, that had a hook. I'm fucking in. Strip out the Bushi. All right.
It's kind of like get the cool shoe shine.
Yeah, that's right. It's like gorillas. We strip out the Bushi.
Hashtag strip out the Bushi. I want that trending on Twitter by Monday evening.
All right. Let's see what we make happen here. All right. We strip out the Bushi, and away we go with Evil, Sonata. So there's three tag teams right there, Colin. If everything works out as planned, as we have mapped out in our heads, Elgin and Cobb, Evil, Sonata, Goto, Ishii.
I'll even take, like you said, Ishii, Yoshihashi.
Okay. I mean, but I'm just if we were just a little creative. Right. That's really nice. And then you could still keep in not for nothing, the boring dreck of KES.
G-O-D.
KES does nothing for me. I hate to say it.
It's a shame, too, because I was always a big proponent of Harry Smith. I actually think that he's a very good wrestler. But, I mean, when you pair him with Lance Archer, I don't know. It's just something's not right.
Just the big brawly.
I want to see the Davey Boy Smith Jr. that we saw in the match against Tanahashi from the G1. How about that one?
Well, shoot fighter Davey Boy Smith Jr. And that's fine, but look, it's just
hanging around with Josh Barnett too much, I think.
It just doesn't do anything for me, like the spitting of a water. It's just like, oh God Almighty. But even with that said, even though they have done not a lot to get too many people excited so far, we'll keep them in the mix, okay? Because I think there's still potential there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's not like we don't have the roster for this either. I mean, look at the size of the roster. It's massive. There's so many people not doing anything.
Right. So right there, you have four, and we haven't even included your GODs, right? We haven't even included, the B and C level, your Tenzans and Kojimas. We haven't even included any of the Young Lions, right, which could make it a little bit more interesting as
Kitamura,
well.
Kitamura, Oka.
Right. I think that's, it's not the it's never the talent that we're really that concerned with, right? It's more of the idea of, come on, man, let's just fucking get some new fresh blood. And that's when we start beating the fucking dead horse with the juniors being involved, because we just want something new and just pay attention to it.
Well, listen, I kind of gave up on that.
I know we haven't mentioned it in two shows.
Right? Just wait until next year.
That's right. But I mean, what did we give it? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? And I think we came up with a real sexy scenario and a lot of possibilities that could take you, not for nothing, at least to the fucking summer.
That wasn't a bad booking meeting, Damon. Right? It's actually pretty decent. Like you said, we banged that out in 5-10 minutes. And like I was saying, you definitely have the talent for this on the roster. It's just a matter of pulling the trigger, really, I think. But I will say, to kind of put a positive spin on things here, I do think that this World Tag League, just the lineup, was a bit of a step in the right direction. I mean, they, not for nothing, but they did do some things we wanted them to do. They got the Omega out, the Tanahashi out, the Okada out, the Naito out. We got the Big Four out, four people who we know there's absolutely no chance in hell they're winning this tournament. So they did that. They did bring in some guys and create some interesting teams, like the Elgin and Cobb and the Best Friends, So
Death Juice.
Yeah, Death Juice, if you're into that. They did do that. So they did listen to a few things, but now it's just a matter of really kind of kicking this thing into overdrive and treating it seriously.
Right. Making a commitment to it.
Right.
I think that's really what we're asking for. Right.
That's all I want, Damon. Just a commitment.
Oh, see, I'm a spot monkey. I just want nonsense. Look, and even right now, though, and I think the positive also, being that we're fishing for positives, is the fact that by and large, when you're looking at the A block and B block as we sit here and record an award-winning podcast here on the third, everybody's in the mix. I mean, even a team like Takahashi and Hangman Page are in the mix.
Most people in the A block are at 6 points. So like Juice and Sammy, Page and Takahashi, Goto Yoshihashi, Suzuki and Izuka, Sonata and Evil, all 6 points. Fale and Chase Owens, Tenkozy, 4 points, and coming in last place, sadly, Yuji Nagata and Manabu Nakanishi.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do? It was between those two, right?
Excuse me,
I
mean, Manabu, because I know somebody out there in the internet hates when I say Manabu. So it's Manabu. I apologize once and for all.
There you go. Good for you, Colin. stand up for yourself. Yeah, Block A is tight, right? Chaos has 8 points as of right now. They're 4-1.
Chaos? Who are we talking about here?
Goto and Yoshihashi.
Goto and Yoshihashi are at 6 points.
Are they at six? Okay. All right.
As of my results, they're at 6 points.
All right. Block B, what do we got there? Best Friends are up there, right?
Yeah, so Best Friends, hang on a second, because you made me second guess myself, Damon. You threw me off. No. Okay, so Best Friends are 8 points, and sadly, G.O.D. is also at 8 points, so you know what that means. God damn it. War Machine, 6 points. Yep. KES, 6 points. Elgin and Cobb, six. Ishii Yano, six. Makabe and Hanare at 0 points, and Finley and Kitamura also at 0 points.
Hmm. All right. So looking at this column, again, B is tight as well. Where are we going with this? Where are we going with this, Colin?
Who's winning this? Where are we going with this? I can tell you where we're going with this.
Who's winning Block A, Colin? Tell me who's winning Block A.
All right, Block A. Let's see here. We got
right now we can eliminate Nagata and Nakanishi, right?
Yeah, Nagata and Nakanishi doesn't look like they're winning anything.
So we assume the Wrestle Rock Rumble, right?
Yeah, Wrestle Rock Rumble, Tenkozy, I think also Wrestle Rock Rumble. I think it's safe to say. Fale and Chase, they ain't winning this.
I can't imagine them winning it, right? No. I mean, they're in the mix still, but they have some losses ahead of them. They're 2-3, 4 points. I can't see them. Well, here's the thing. They could squeak out a win. They probably have at least another win in them.
Fale and Chase?
Yeah, Fale and Chase have at least another win.
Are we really entertaining this as a possibility?
I don't think we should. Looking at it logically, looking at it numbers-wise, I mean, technically, yes, but
we know that's not going to happen.
No, right, exactly.
Just like Suzuki and Izuka, that's not going to happen either.
Right, so they're going to be picking up some losses because we know Suzuki's got some never. We know he's in the never title mix, right?
Right.
So we're not going to see that. So we can assume that this schedule coming up, you're going to see more Izuka pinfalls than anything else.
And by the way, Damon, the latest show from December 2nd, I just want to make note. GOD did defeat KES, the IWGP heavyweight tag champions. So
GOD did.
Yeah. Yeah, GOD defeated KES. So you know what that means.
Oh, fucking Christ, Carl.
Three way, man. GOD now has a claim to the titles, so you can be rest assured they shall be interjecting themselves, I'm sure. Unless I'm way off here, and this means nothing, but...
If ever that means something.
Yeah, that means something. They're getting a title shot.
And guess who won on that Corkin show, in that main event?
Who won? Tell me.
War Machine.
Okay, there you go.
War Machine beat KK. Yes.
War Machine also has a claim to the... Damon, we might be looking at a four-way. A four-way for Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh, my fucking Lord.
I think we are. Listen, we're trying to shoehorn a lot of people onto this card. And you had the two teams who have been feuding with KES all year, GOD, War Machine. You had them defeat them in this tournament, thus staking their claim. So I say, so it's going to be those three teams at Wrestle Kingdom plus the winner of the A block, thus making it a four-way for the heavyweight tag straps.
So Cobb and Elgin are not in the mix.
Listen, Cobb and Elgin are in the mix. Well, no, actually, no, they're not because they're B block. Never mind. No, they're not in the mix. No, they're not in the mix. Of course not. How foolish of you to think that Michael Elgin would be involved in anything important on the biggest card of the year. What are you thinking?
Holy fuck.
Listen, I don't know this. This isn't confirmed, but I'm just like, you know, I'm using New Japan booking logic here, which means that when somebody defeats you in this tournament, you're probably going to be defending the title against them, right?
And I mean, again, it doesn't necessarily have to happen at the Dome.
No, right? But like, do they usually? I'm trying to remember from years past. Are there usually like heavyweight tag title matches before the Dome? No,
I mean,
no, there usually aren't. It's whoever wins this damn World Tag League, they get the next match at the Dome.
I mean, they could do it on. They could,
but they won't.
I know, but they could.
They won't,
but they could.
They're traditionalists.
How about those Christmas quirking shows?
No, we're not having a tag title. No, Damon,
we can.
Yeah, but we're not going to. We're gonna see, you know, multi-man tags. I'm sure all the teams we're talking about will be in multi-man tags. On these Corkin just before Christmas shows.
I see what you did. I was in a real good mood before we fucking started.
Well, listen, I'm in a good mood. I'm in a great mood, actually. I'm just using logic here and taking a look at wins and losses, and
all right.
which do mean something in New Japan. So be thankful for that, at least.
Right.
In other companies, they don't mean jack shit. So,
right.
Listen. I don't think Elgin and Cobb are winning this B block. I really, really think it's going to be one of the aforementioned teams. And A block? Okay, let's pick an A block winner.
Okay.
Okay, so Nagata and Nakanishi out. Tenzan,
right.
Kojima out. Folly,
right.
Chase Owens, we're saying out, right?
Yeah.
Suzuki and Iizuka.
Out. I mean, only because they have a never program, right? So, and I mean, well, I mean, they could make it to the finals, right? They could make it to the finals. I kind of see a chaos, though. I kind of see chaos. I kind of see
Goto and Yoshihashi. You know, there's two guys right there who, you know what though? I still do think they're going to do a Goto Suzuki rematch at the Dome for the Never title.
Well, I do too. So I think, but as a final, so winner of block A takes on winner of block B for the finals, right? So getting out of block A, I definitely see, you know.
So Goto wins and slips on a banana peel.
Right. Well, Goto wins, right? But
right.
They don't win the tournament, right? So it's
right,
like,
right, right.
You know, Gorillas of Destiny or Killer Elite or whoever, War Machine, whatever.
Yeah, one of those clowns.
Win B, but they'll beat, you know, Goto and Yoshihashi.
Okay, you know what? We could. that's definitely doable because, you know, judging from history here, what have they done with the heavyweight tag title at the Dome? You know, we saw the big barrage of curse words last year in that three way, and I think we'll probably see that three way again.
So you're saying right here and now, three way. For the title at the Dome, War Machine, G.O.D., K.E.S.
I'll tell you what I would like. Okay, so that's what I think that we're probably going to see. We're going to see K.E.S. versus War Machine versus G.O.D., three-way for the heavyweight tag titles. But if you do want to make this a four-way, man, how cool would it be if you had like a Sonata and an Evil win the A block? And then
okay,
they can go on and they can win the tournament. They can interject themselves into that mess.
So you're saying, I'm saying somebody out of block B wins this tournament, right?
Okay.
And either Gorillas of Destiny, Killer Elite Squad, or War Machine. One of those three are winning, right? Now, logic would have it that the tag champions don't win it, right? So it's somebody to challenge the tag champions, right?
Right.
Okay. War Machine?
As in War Machine winning?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see. I could definitely see them winning the tournament for sure. It's just, again,
I don't see like a Beretta and Chucky T winning this thing.
No, I don't see Beretta and Chucky T winning. I don't see Elgin and Cobb winning. I'm sorry to say, even though that's what I would like. It's just okay. So let's say War Machine is your block B winner, you know.
Okay.
They go to the finals. Okay, so who are they facing from the A block then? Who are they facing? Are they
I'm
facing Juice and Sammy?
No, I don't see that.
Are they facing Paige and Takahashi?
No, I don't see that.
So Goto and Yoshihashi. It's either Goto and Yoshihashi or Sonata and Evil. How about that?
Well, Sonata and Evil are going to be tied up with the Network titles.
That's right. They are. They do hold the prestigious Never Trios titles along with Bushi. What was that song I made up? Strip out the Bushi. See, I forgot already.
That's, yeah.
Strip out the Bushi. Yeah, so Sonata and Evil. Are we can assume that they're tied up in trio hijinks.
Yep.
Damn. Yeah, so so you're saying Goto and Yoshihashi versus War Machine. War Machine wins.
Yep.
And then we've got the big three-way to look forward to at the Dome.
Right, because, again, KES lost twice, right?
Right.
They've lost. Well, no. Yeah, they lost.
They have 3 wins, 2 losses.
Okay.
Lost to GOD and lost to War Machine.
Phew. Unfucking
the two teams who are going to be challenging them at the Dome.
All right.
That, and see, folks, see, this is why my reaction to the World Tag League when the blocks were first announced, I wasn't over the moon because I know what the outcome always is. I know where we're going with this. Like, yeah, it has been cool. It has been really cool to see Elgin and Cobb do their thing and best friends. I mean, we got the best match of the tournament out of it. We got one of the best heavyweight tag matches of the year out of it, in my opinion. But again, look at where we're going. Look at what the destination ultimately is, and then you'll see why this isn't my favorite time of the year and why I don't, you know, jump with joy and glee, you know, when I see some new names on here, because I know where we're eventually going to end up. That's all.
All right. Well, there's Colin Miller for you, everyone. Those losses, this is the time where you're just like, oh, why do those losses have to mean anything?
Right. Why can't they just WWE this thing?
Right. Yeah, nothing matters.
See, there are advantages to that kind of booking.
Right, that mentality of, what, that never happened.
Yeah, right. We just don't, we just fucking ignore things.
All right, I got a text from, I won't name names.
Okay.
But I got a text from someone that you know, Colin Miller.
All right.
And this is an exact quote. I will say this during, and this is, was sent to me. I will say this during this WTL Trail of Tears to Wrestle Kingdom. I don't envy you having to cover all these shows.
Wow.
This is a person.
Trail of Tears.
This is a person that I think people know. All right. Hilarious stuff. Okay. Enough of this. So that's World Tag League. That's where we are right now. It doesn't look the skies are a little cloudy, kids. I'm not going to lie. But maybe there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and Colin will be wrong, and we'll all enjoy some interesting tag league, as well as a Tokyo Dome that doesn't involve 972 tag teams for these titles.
Watch like Elgin and Cobb win the B block now, and then like Evil and Sonata win the A block, and we have this fucking amazing, spectacular tag match to.
I hope you're listen. I'm not hoping you're wrong just to rub it in your face.
That'd be awesome.
I don't right. I just want it to happen. Like,
yeah,
I
hope I'm wrong.
I'm begging for you to be fucking wrong. All right, but that's World Tag League. It is what it is. Let's move on.
Yeah, that kind of leads us to. I just wanted to at least mention this Monday show on December 11th because that's where the finals are going to be happening and. Fukuoka at the Fukuoka Convention Center. Damon, I'm sure
there,
you've been there, right?
That's right. I've been right. In the lovely town. Yes.
Very nice. There's actually some really appealing matchups on this card thus far. So, of course, we're going to have this World Tag League final, which, what, we're saying is Evil and Sonata versus Elgin and Cobb, right? in a four and three-quarter star match.
Well, let me ask you this. So they announced – is the whole show announced?
There's 3 matches plus the World Tag League final announced thus far. So,
all right, so they didn't like spill the beans on any of this. So
no.
Okay, good. All right.
No, so we have We have Ospreay and Okada versus Takahashi and Naito.
Okay. We saw that multi-man tag, but it was like who was the other two that were in that match? No, it was Ospreay, Okada, and was it Ghetto?
Are you talking about a six-man that happened?
Yeah. Yeah,
and it was, I think I know which one you're talking about.
Naito, Takahashi, and who else was in it? Some other Los Ingobernables. I'm gonna say maybe it was Bushi. That was pretty good. I enjoyed that. So they're stripping it down a little bit, right?
Yeah, this is a tag match, and it should be great.
Yeah, I'm that should be really good, actually.
Another match that, oh man, this should be awesome. So we've got Yo and Sho and Rocky Romero taking on the Elite, Omega and the Bucks. That should be awesome, right?
Oh. Yeah. Rocky Romero, Roppongi 3K against the Bucks and Omega?
Yeah, that's like the kind of match that would be on one of those special Ring of Honor cards.
That sounds like a match in like your jerk off to this match, Colin Miller style.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. That's an interesting match. I'm digging it.
It's a very interesting match. And the other match that has been announced, I like this one too. It's Kushida and Ibushi taking on Skrull and Cody.
Mm.
Once I threw in the Cody, the kind of like the balloon just deflated a little bit. Hey, listen,
yeah.
Cody Rhodes, excuse me, I don't want to get sued. Cody is not a bad wrestler.
No. No. He's not.
He does fine if you put him in positions like this.
Yeah. I think what it is the realization that I am flying 14 hours to see Kota Ibushi wrestle Cody Rhodes at Tokyo Dome.
In a dream match. Yeah, so many dream matches that I don't remember anyone asking for on this Wrestle Kingdom card. Never did I hear any of these dream matches discussed ever.
Fuck me, right? woo-wee.
Oh, you'll have fun.
Yeah,
you'll
have fun
wherever you go.
Oh, I'd listen. I'll keep the beers coming, kids. but my streak broke again. So
of course it did.
Listen, I had a
I had no faith.
Oh, whoa, come on now. I was
think
in
I actually have faith.
We're still under the holiday banner, Colin.
Oh, okay. So that's you have a little wiggle room there, in other words,
I got
right?
A lot of wiggle room, right? We're still listen, I got work parties, right. So yeah. So here's the problem. I get there and I don't do well in these things to fucking begin with, but so I get there and I'm like,
you know, the story is always interesting when Damon lowers a voice and is like, yeah, you know, so I get there and somebody had smuggled in a couple kilo. Go ahead.
There's a work party going. No, but it was I went right to the bar because I just was just like, look, I walked in and it was really nice. Like it was really put together real
Swanky.
Well.
They did,
yeah, it was like legitimate. Like plate settings and shit and china.
Yeah, stuff you're not used to.
I am used to it. I'm very fancy, but it was just like, it's just a lot of that. It was like, and everybody's dressed up. It was like everybody was, yeah, it was like the cocktail dresses and the,
got it.
The whole nine yards, right? So,
top hats and dinner coats.
Everybody had a monocle.
Mr. Peanut was there.
I head right to the bar. I got to go to my comfort zone. Right?
Right.
So a couple of ladies that I work with saw me kind of hopping over there and gave the old, I'm going over there. They're like, we're coming with you. Came over. At one point, I was like, what time is it? And they were like, yeah, it's like 7:30. And this thing goes on till about 11. Con, I had 5 Jack and Cokes at that point.
Wow.
And you could count the glasses because they were mine. I'm like, fuck. They're like, yeah, maybe you should get like not that. Again, I was like, I just need to have a glass in my hand. They're like, just get a water. I was like, okay, go back to the bar. The guy didn't even fucking have to make the drink. It was waiting for me. He just hands me the drink. I was like, oh, no. Now I got a reputation.
Now I got a reputation.
I know. Well, you know, I had a reputation the whole fucking week. They were like, because I went out the night before. And apparently somebody's a tattletale. And they were like, hey, how you feeling? I'm like, I'm fine. Why? They're like, I heard you went out. And I was like, yeah. All right, where are we here, Colin?
We were talking about you seeing you traveling however many thousand miles to see Ibushi versus Cody.
Well, look, I'm not looking forward to that. But like I said, it'll be fine. Whatever. It'll be fine. We're going to have a great time. We're very excited about it. 14 hours. I know a lot of our listeners are making the voyage. So, again, when we're there, we'll probably have some more details about a potential meetup. I'm always accepting of drinks. So if you come up with a strong zero, hand one to me, we'll talk some
progress. Don't buy him anything. I don't want anyone buying him drinks. I want a complete embargo on alcohol. I want prohibition era Damon.
No, listen, with prohibition, we'll smuggle.
You'll go to a speakeasy.
Right. under cork and all. We'll be making our own moonshine. No, we'll figure something out. I definitely am accepting of that, but I'll be fine.
Well, all right. My point being, this is kind of a cool card coming up next Monday, December 11th, and that's what it is as of right now. So I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be good. That elite match.
Yeah, right? Roppongi 3K and Rocky versus the Elite.
When was the last time we've seen the Elite in action?
Oh, my goodness. Well, the last... Jesus. We saw them in action personally together at that Vegas show. Like 2 years ago, but like on screen, I can't even remember.
I mean, New Japan wise.
Yeah, New Japan wise. Jesus. Halloween maybe.
Don't they always come out and do their little? That wasn't even just them. It was with who was with them? Skrull was with them, right?
Yeah. The year before that, now they came out as the Ghostbusters. I remember that.
Yeah, this year it was what? Aladdin was it?
Yeah, I believe it was Aladdin because I can picture Marty Skrull in my mind dressed
sexy.
Up. Sexy.
Just... right.
Anyway, that's your show for December 11th. Looking forward to that. So, okay, we do want to talk about our picks for the awards a little bit, but I just want to mention the Access TV news since that is something we were speculating on last week. Is Access Television going to be showing Wrestle Kingdom 12? And it was announced this morning as per Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer. I think we know him.
Yep, that rag sheet.
Yeah, right, that dirt sheet. So Access TV has announced a 3-hour Wrestle Kingdom 12 special to air on Saturday, January 6th, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And that's going to come right off the heels of 11 straight hours of New Japan Pro Wrestling programming that is starting that day at noon. So very cool that they're going to be airing it. I'll tell you what my first thought was when I saw this. Like, 3 hours on a Saturday? I think I'd rather watch this than the one that's going to be on NJPW World, quite frankly.
I mean,
this sounds a lot
high
better.
Definition. Yeah, you get the high-definition broadcast, right?
Yeah, you get it in high definition. It's only 3 hours. Like, I imagine so much of the fat is going to be trimmed off. This is looking pretty good, Damon.
Yeah. I mean that is a great option, you know. Saturday night, after how many hours of programming? 14 hours.
Oh my god! Okay, so starting at noon, they're going to be airing New Japan Pro Wrestling.
That's pretty awesome, actually.
So, oh my god, you could really make a day out of that if you wanted to. If you wanted to make that like a Super Bowl kind of day, you can go. You can get some ingredients to make some buffalo chicken dip. You have a crock pot of that. Oh,
wow.
Man. You get
Colin's
some
playing party at Colin's house, everyone.
Yeah, you get some drink. You could really make a lazy, disgusting day out of this.
I mean, that's actually a really cool idea if you really think about it. You know, have some people over.
Oh, man.
Huh?
Yeah, and it's only a 3-hour, and now that's an easily digestible pro wrestling show right there. And I'm one of those guys, and I think some Voices of Wrestling folks are the same way as me. I think I saw Rich tweeting about this. Like, any pro wrestling, like no pro wrestling show in my world should go over 3 hours. It just
Correct.
Shouldn't. 3 hours. That is the perfect time to have a pro wrestling show. Like anything that comes after that, just better be spectacular, and even then you're kind of drained by the end of it.
And Wrestle Kingdoms can go long.
Wrestle Kingdoms go all day.
Yeah, That's why I drink there.
So that's why.
Well, I mean, you know, I have a fidget spinner and a beer. Yeah, it's that's not a bad idea. I'll be in Tokyo, though.
You will be in Tokyo. You'll be there live. And, of course, I will be watching.
But it's that Saturday that sounds like a real good idea, right?
Yeah, it's the Saturday. Saturday.
Listen, I think everybody, here's what, listening to our voices, if you're listening to us, first of all, you're a maniac. Second of all,
right, hey, lots of fine people listening to this program.
All right, but there's a little bit of a maniac in you if you're sitting here listening to us.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the maniacism.
Me too.
Don't get me wrong. I think it's great. I'm fist bumping you right now.
All you Pyro cast maniacs out there.
It's pretty good. That's a pretty good Hogan. Brother. Here's your civic duty, though.
Okay.
As a listener to us and a watcher of the product, listen, I'm sure you got friends that, you know, might be a little interested in the New Japan, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Here's your opportunity. So you invite the people over to your house, right? Get a couple cases, get the drinks of your choice, get a couple pizza pies, fucking make a night of it. Have a party. Watch some pro wrestling, convert some new fans. Right?
Yeah, what a perfect time to do that too, on a Saturday. And like, who cares if it's not live? Like, nobody really cares. Nobody's gonna be paying attention to that. You know, it starts at 8 p.m. Eastern time, just 3 hours. Yeah, this is actually a very, very smart decision. I'm almost kind of glad now that they didn't go the pay-per-view
live
route, because they're doing this and it's going to be offered to you in a much more digestible fashion that I feel is a key ingredient to getting a lot more of the humanoids, the casuals on board with this product. Now, Damon, you could speculate whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing. I know part of you is
Music Damon's having a stroke right now.
Yeah. Music Damon's on he's in critical care mode because he just sees a sea of black Bullet Club shirts in his future. But listen, we're talking about what's good for the company and for the American expansion and all that. And this is a very smart decision. I'm happy they're doing this, and I'll definitely tune in. You know, it'll be my second time watching Wrestle Kingdom. I'll tell you this. I'm not gonna rewatch any of the matches until this Access special. That'll be my rewatch.
Now listen, I'm all about the $9.99 New Japan World, blah blah blah.
Yes, I
think that buzzworthiness is going to play a special consideration into getting more people signed up for New Japan World, right? Jericho, that's what Jericho is going to be doing, right?
That's why he's there.
There is always the normal, hey, it's Wrestle Kingdom. I like pro wrestling. I like what I see, but I'm a casual watcher of the New Japan product just because I'm busy or whatever the case may be. Boom. I'm feeling the buzz. I'm seeing the tweets. I'm going to watch this show. I'm going to spend the $9.99. And then you're going to get another level that's going to hear about, hopefully, how great this show was, right? Then they'll either be – they can't wait until Saturday to watch.
Then again, though, the casuals that we're talking about, like the people who are bringing their, you know, their friends over to the house to have some hors d'oeuvres and drinks, like that's who we're trying to reel in on the
Yes. You know. But there has to be a bit of a buzz, right? So something has to have occurred, or a match has to be really good to really get those eyeballs on the product, right?
Which I think is going to happen for sure.
I think so. I mean, Wrestle Kingdom every year, since we've been doing our Pure Cast Year End Awards, Wrestle Kingdom's been the show of the year. So it's a big opportunity. I think it's a smart opportunity. I think it could be fun. It could be like a Nitro party, Colin.
Yeah, remember the Nitro parties? Oh man!
Right? Listen, here's what we want. Here's what we can do as a community. Right? Listen, I'm already sending $3,000 over. We got $3,000 for that Takayama fund.
Yeah, I heard.
We did it. We absolutely got $3,000. I'm so proud of each and every one of you, by the way. And I can't believe I'm mentioning it in the middle of the show, but let me just say, I'm so proud of everyone. 3,000 Takayama Fund. It's going to be an amazing moment. And the people who contributed, I can't thank you enough. But here's what else we can do as a community. Tweet it out. Have a Nitro party. Have a Wrestle Kingdom party.
Yeah, just think of it as, like, even if you're not necessarily, even if the people who you have over and aren't necessarily into the product, like, come on. It's like, you know, it's pro wrestling. It's like a night of pro wrestling with, like, friends and good times and food and drinks.
You have no idea how hard that sentence was for Colin, having people over.
Yeah, like, I really had to. I'm happy you noticed that.
I did. I'm dying laughing. But listen, have some friends over, and tweet out some pictures. You know, we'll get a little hashtag going. Let's make this a thing. And listen, how great would it be? I'm sitting in fucking Tokyo on the 8th, right? I'll be at a Wrestle One show, right? Or some nonsense.
Yeah, you and Moondog Mackie at a Wrestle One show.
Yeah, but just seeing those tweets and everything, I would be so excited. That would be really great. I think it's something we got to do as a community.
Yeah, work that social media. Instead of sharing your latest political post, share the Access TV link instead, because that'll spread more happiness.
Ah, now we're talking. Now we're doing something positive once again for the community. All right,
and for the world.
Good. Right. So again, I'm not telling people to not watch live. Please don't misunderstand.
No.
Yeah, because the people are going to watch live. I'm not worried about that.
Yeah,
we're
going to watch live.
We're going to watch. I mean, listen. But, again, watch it again. Right? Have people over. Have a party. Make it a fucking fun event. Well, like, what you guys do for your WrestleManias and your SummerSlams and all that. But anyway, we got an opportunity here. Fucking have a party. Be social. Invite some girls over. Have a good time. Come on. Thank you.
There you go. Thank you very much, Damon. So again, Access TV, Wrestle Kingdom 12, Saturday, January 6th, 8 p.m. Be there or be square. And speaking of New Japan World, Damon, I just wanted to tell you. So I got one of those Fire Stick television dongle gimmicks there.
Nice.
From the old Amazon. And I got to tell you, really digging it. Really digging the NJPW World app. By far the best method I have found to watch NJPW World. I was really digging the Chromecast for a while, but this kind of supersedes it, I think. Very worthwhile purchase for New Japan Pro Wrestling fans, certainly. However, there are two things I want to address right now that will really help to put this service over the top. Would you like to hear them?
I'm very interested in, and this is Colin's Technology Corner, brought to you by Verizon Wireless.
Right, you're now, bear in mind, I don't know anything, but I just want to preface it with that. I don't really know anything, but there's two things that they need to do. Number one, how cool would it be if, you know how on that other wrestling network, Damon, how you can like sort by shows, and like for example, you wanna watch Starrcade. Well, you can go and you can sort by, you know, by year. You can look at all the Starrcades, and they need to offer something like that. They need to update the app with something like that, where it'll enable you to go and pick the Wrestle Kingdom category, and then right in there you'll see all the different Wrestle Kingdom shows. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. I don't they do that already though?
No. Listen. I could be wrong, but I think that's a feature I would know about if it was on there. Like, as far as I know, they don't have, and I'm talking like an easy to access thing right on the side
that
like all the Dominions, all the Wrestle Kingdoms, all the G1, right?
Right. All right. Maybe they don't. I know they have it by year. Like, I remember looking through and they have like,
yeah, you can do that. Like
90s, 80s.
Right. Like, you can go into the 90s, but okay, that's just like a big mishmash of matches that happened in the 90s. Like, I'm looking for
no context. Yeah.
Right. Like if I want to watch, you know, let's say I want to watch Nakamura versus Ibushi from Wrestle Kingdom 9. Well, I just want to be able to click on the Wrestle Kingdom button and then Wrestle Kingdom 9, and it'll have all the matches broken up there, and I can just select that match.
Yeah.
Because something like sometimes, like, I know people are saying, well, just use the search function. No, that doesn't always work, actually. That doesn't always work if you're trying to find very specific matchups like I was just talking about.
Yeah. My biggest challenge is not necessarily even with the networks. It's the fact that I can't remember what fucking show matches are on. You know? Be like, yeah. Is that on Dominion or is that, you know, Invasion Attack? Or was that, you know, like, I right. don't know. Then I got to look it up anyway. The only other thing is that, again, a lot of the content that's really great stuff, you're not going to find on the network because, unfortunately, they don't have the rights. It's the TV networks that have the rights.
Yep.
So there's a ton of shit that's out that's not on that network that I don't know if they can ever get it. Now, again, I get the IPTV service where I get to, you know, watch the live Japanese television actually on my Fire Stick. So I have it. What do they call it? Side loaded or jailbroken or something. So,
right.
I'm able to do that on the Fire Stick. So it makes it. I have this one device that the size of my index finger. That it literally is like the world of pro wrestling. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, right in the palm of your hand.
It's unbelievable for me. So one of the networks was it TV Asahi or whatever, however you pronounce
yes.
it. They do New Japan Classics. Right. So they'll have the classic TV shows and classic events that aren't on a network. It's really kind of cool.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, but I wish there's a lot of shit that's not on the network, which is a little disappointing. You know, some of the greatest stuff were those TV shows that you're just not going to watch. You're not going to find them.
And the second point I want to make about the NJPW world is that they really need to work on a 1080p stream. I mean, come on. It is 2017. We're talking about a Japanese streaming service, Japan, who's always been ahead of the curve with technology. Like, you mean to tell me they can't do a 1080p stream? Like, I don't even think it's 720p, actually. Like, if you ever go back and you rewatch some of these shows on Access in high definition, it's like watching watching a different match, but it certainly does give you like a new perspective on the match with it being in high definition.
I know there's a lot of complaints about the buffering.
Yeah, yeah, I've been having some trouble the past few days, depending on the content that I'm streaming, depending on how old it is. I've noticed that.
Yeah, it's that's a challenge, man. Again, when you talk about ease of use on these networks, there are built-in expectations that people have, and their patience isn't, you know, if you're. We have a lot more streaming stuff than I would say Japan does, right? So we are very much a Hulu, Netflix generation.
Yes.
Right? I'm talking like I'm in that generation.
Well, you are kind of stuck in a certain mindset, but.
But ahead. Again, there are expectations, and even I have it to this day. You know, I get the fucking thing's got to go into space and then come back down to my TV. But yeah, man, when you get into that buffering nonsense, you know, people don't have the patience for that. So, yeah, they gotta work on that. That's, and here's the thing that should already be worked on, you know, they should already be worked on.
Yeah. Like the service has existed for a couple of years now.
Yeah. I mean, not for nothing. I'm watching pirated Japanese television that streams 1,000 times better than the network, right? That I'm paying for. Right. So, all right, come on, help me out here, guys. Fucking fix that out. Sort those issues out, kids.
Other than that, though, I will say, all in all, the Fire Stick, I feel like I'm doing a review for CNET here. The
unboxing.
The Fire Stick.
Unboxing videos at this point. I bought a new case of toilet paper. Let's unwrap the toilet
I should have done an unboxing for this. Best way to watch NJPW World on your television, but I just wanted to talk about those two little issues that I would love to see the company work on. And this brings us to our last thing for today, Damon. We wanted to kind of give our picks for who we are voting for in the 2017 New Japan Purocast Year End Awards, which close, by the way, on Friday, December 15th. So let's close out today's show with talking about that a little, shall we?
We shall. Again, we've kind of touched on a little bit of who we think should win on these categories, and we've touched a little bit on our picks, but I don't think we've had a clear and concise discussion on who we actually pushed the button for. So we're going to do that now. Right now, just to give people a little taste, Colin, if you will, we can go category by category, and then I'll fill in the blanks of not only of who I voted for, but I have it loaded right in front of me here. Who currently is in the lead and who looks to be doing well? And again, as we like to call them, Colin, the early returns are in.
So I'm looking at Wrestler of the Year here.
I'm
thinking, listen, how could I go with anyone else other than Kazuchika Okada for first place? I mean, just the year that he has had in New Japan Pro Wrestling in 2017, just extraordinary is the word that comes to mind. Just unlike any other, just the amount of matches, the amount of just an amazing year. Okada is going to get my first place vote.
Mine as well, Colin. When I pushed the lever, it was Okada, just for the same reasons that you had mentioned. I find it truly remarkable that a year that a person like Kenny Omega, a year that he had, I do feel bad for him, in the sense of if he was anywhere else on planet Earth wrestling for any other promotion. In any other time frame, he would be obviously the MVP of that company, and unfortunately still lose to Okada for total. But
he's in the same company as Okada is the problem that prevents him from getting first place.
Yeah, you look at the quality of matches though, and here's the thing too. Three of those matches that Okada had are thanks to Kenny Omega. Right, so
that
Kenny Omega's involved in the best three matches in my mind that Okada had in a year that is. I don't even think there's an argument to be made. I think, from an in-ring perspective, Okada had the best year of any pro wrestler in my lifetime watching pro wrestling.
I believe that. I really do.
So that's saying something. I mean, that's taking into consideration. I mean, again, we're not talking about gates. We're not talking about all, I'm talking about the match quality. I can't think of anyone who had a year that Okada had. And I think back, okay, so who else? Flair? And that's the conversation you have to have at this point when it comes to Wrestler of the Year for New Japan is you're comparing Okada's year to some of the greatest years of any pro wrestler in any time frame.
Yeah, pick anyone.
Right? So, again, you go through that list. Okay, Flair, Kobashi, Misawa, those are the names. Michaels. Those are the names that you're kind of drawing from, and you're thinking, okay, did Misawa ever have a better year in ring than Okada and Kobashi? Like, those are the names. Those names are the names that I'm comparing him to, and I think he beats them, and I really do. Now, again, longevity will play out if he's the greatest of all time. We're talking about Okada. If longevity has anything to do with it, I think he absolutely will be the greatest pro wrestler of all time in ring. Right, it's an amazing thing this year. And you always say to yourself, okay, that this will never be equaled, right? This will never be duplicated. But then somebody goes and does it.
Well, I mean, look at the beginning of this year when we said after the first Okada Omega match took place, we said, okay, nothing is going to happen in 2017, the rest of the year, that is going to possibly even come close to that. And look what happened.
Right. I'll never forget being sitting in Corkenhall and our good friend Kyle, who we'll be seeing again, our friends from Australia, kids from Australia. We'll be seeing them in a few short days. I'm looking forward to it. Sitting in Corkenhall, and Kyle comes up and he has a beer in his hand. He gives me a beer and he's laughing and he's like, you're not going to believe this, mate. Fucking Meltzer just gave Okada Omega, and we just saw the match, we were both at the dome, just gave it 6 stars, and we just started laughing our fucking ass off, like, what? 6 stars? And we agreed it was just a fucking tremendous match.
It was the best pro wrestling match I had ever seen.
at the time. It was the best pro wrestling match I've ever seen, and it was the best pro wrestling match I ever saw live. And then here we go, hour draw. So okay, so enough of that. Yes,
can we get right into match of the year on that note?
Well, give me your second and third. Give me your second.
Oh,
and third.
I have no idea what my second and third is.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not going to know that until I cast my ballot. I'm only kind of sticking with first place votes here.
You didn't cast yet?
No, I always kind of wait till the last minute.
Ah, well, I'm gonna give you mine. So yes, I did Okada, I did Omega second because how could you not? Third was the only one where I struggled a little bit, but I went Naito. I think Naito had a fantastic year. I think he's a cornerstone. I think you know what he brings to the table. Again, the third place vote would have been a first place vote in just about any other promotion. So I went Okada, Omega, Naito.
Truth be told, that is exactly how I was thinking of voting.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have. Right now, first place votes, it's definitely an Okada.
I know Okada's number one for sure, though. I know I'm picking him as my first place vote, 100%. Match of the year, I'm probably going to end up going with Okada Omega from the Dome. Now, a lot of people think that the match that they had, the hour draw that you alluded to earlier, was an even better match than their Dome match. And some people may even like their G1 match the most, a match that has kind of really been growing on me in the trilogy. However, just the initial reaction and the initial feeling after the first Okada Omega from the Tokyo Dome this past January, that feeling that I felt in my breadbasket, if you will, was never truly replicated throughout the rest of the year. Just for me, like, that was a really unique, special sort of feeling that I was experiencing while I was watching that match. So that's why I really do think that I'm going to pick that as my first place vote. Okada Omega, the original from the Tokyo Dome, Wrestle Kingdom 11.
So I struggled with this one a little bit. Personally, I went with the Dominion Hour.
Okay.
Right? I think that
why?
Was...
Why? Because it got a quarter star or more from Dave?
Here's the thing. The way I see it is that, like, from a match quality perspective, I got an hour's worth as opposed to 38 minutes worth, right?
See, I'm trying to cut down on time. I don't know if you noticed. Like, I'm talking about 3 hour pro wrestling shows, and like,
I understand. Look, that match, I was never bored. I never looked away from my screen. It was an amazing accomplishment by two guys at the top of their game. So that, but here's the thing where I struggle, because I really feel like the Dome match was one of the greatest matches I've ever witnessed. It was one of the greatest ones that I witnessed live. So being in the building, it had an even better feeling and ambiance than sitting on a couch in the middle of Baltimore is when I watched it. But here's the other thing too. I really feel in my heart and in my mind too, that Dome match is one of the turning points of New Japan Pro Wrestling history. Like, that really feels like a match that, above all other matches in the year, is going to be one of those touchstone moments, one of those marker moments in the history of the company.
Yes.
That will live on, you know, it'll be, you know, what the kids here might call it a WrestleMania moment, right?
That's what I'm saying. This is that's the one that got people talking. That's the one that got new eyeballs on the product. That was the one that lit the entire pro wrestling world on fire. So that one still, to me, is just, there's something very special about it, even though their Dominion match may have even been a little better.
Right. And that's what I struggled with. So those two factors. For me, again, I went with Dominion. Right on its tails, I did go Wrestle Kingdom second. When you look at the voting column, it's neck and neck for first place. That's going to be one of the categories where it's going to come down to the final votes.
Could you imagine if both matches get the same amount of points for first place?
Well, I will say this. So right now, Dominion is in the lead. Right. But I'm just looking at first place votes, mind you. Right. Just looking at
the Dominion match, Omega Okada.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just looking at first place match. First place votes. The Dominion match is like a shade over 250, 250 first place votes.
Okay.
And the Dome match is like an ass hair below it. Right? They're literally neck and neck for first place votes and second place votes. So for people who voted for one, they absolutely voted for the other for second place. Right. For third place, I went with a little bit of maybe not outside the box too hard, but just outside of the Omega Okada trilogy. I went with Okada Shibata.
Okada, okay, yeah, that was a match that you really did seem to enjoy almost just as much as the Dome match, dare I say.
That was an amazing fucking match, Shibata and Okada. Again, a match that, in hindsight, you have a pro wrestler who gave everything he had and more.
And it all out there.
Yeah, and hasn't returned. And the drama in that match and the excitement in that match and, you know, for Shibata, you know, you couldn't help but root for the fucking guy because he's finally making it to a spot where, you know, there's a lot of North American fans and you know, Western fans and non-Japanese fans who rally behind Shibata. They love Shibata. And you know, we talk about underrated and underappreciated, and he's finally getting his moment, and he leaves everything on the table in a match that was brilliant, a piece of art. So I went that third. So I did not complete the trilogy. I went with Shibata and Okada for third.
Alrighty, Junior of the Year. To me, this one kind of either comes down to Kushida or Takahashi, because as hot as Takahashi came into New Japan, I think that you can almost make the argument that Kushida's comeback in the middle of the year made just as big of an impact, actually. So I'm kind of on the fence about who I'm going to pick for first place. It's either going to be Kushida or Takahashi.
I went Takahashi. I think his beginning of the year and the role that he was on was a fun, fresh, exciting, energetic couple of months.
That kind of fizzled out, and then we got stuffed cats. Don't want to forget about that.
You know, but he made the most of that situation. And I think that's heating up. You know, it does remind me of, in many years, you know, the halves of years, right? Ricochet was one of those guys where he had just a tremendous half a year. Kota Ibushi, again, if the year ended in July, you know, these people would have gotten Wrestler of the Year votes, you know, in their respective year. And I think Takahashi falls into that category.
For sure.
Well, I just feel like that the beginning of that year was such an exciting, fun. You didn't know what, you know, where he was going to land and what he was going to do. And again, those matches with Dragon Lee, those matches with Kushida, they were tremendous. And he was just such a breath of fresh air.
Agreed. But I will say, though, I do think that Kushida, even amidst all of the excitement and the craziness and the fieriness of Takahashi, Kushida still always felt like to me, like the glue that was kind of just holding that entire division together. Like he was almost like the sun, and like the junior heavyweight division was the earth, and we were going around Kushida.
Yeah. At no point did it feel like
the torch was passed.
Yeah.
In other words,
yeah.
Like,
I would tend to agree with that, yes. But again, I couldn't discount first half of the year for Takahashi, man. Some of those matches were just some of the best matches and are definitely in the running for matches of the year. So I did go Takahashi. I did go Kushida second, and I went Ospreay third.
Probably going to be pretty similar to my order.
Yeah,
I'm kind of thinking along the same path for the most part.
Yep, I did consider Skrull for New York second. Not much, but yeah, I did go that route. I think the fans are kind of thinking the same pattern. I think by a long shot, especially first place votes, Takahashi is faring very well so far, with Kushida right behind him.
Tag team of the year. You know, I'm looking at all the nominees here, and I'm almost tempted to go with Young Bucks first place, but I keep thinking about, well, number one, I don't want a bias to take over, a built-in bias that I have, Damon, but I was thinking back to what we were saying about War Machine being the one team in the heavyweight tag division that kind of, you know, stood out the most this year, and the best matches from the heavyweight tag division involved War Machine. So I really think that they contributed a lot to kind of make this division, you know, somewhat digestible, at least more so than it normally is. So, I mean, they get a lot of credit from me for doing that. So they're probably going to end up in first place.
I went War Machine, and for a lot of the same reasons. I think War Machine, Head and Shoulders, were the best heavyweight tag team and did breathe fresh air into a very stale division. And they made them, I feel like they made the most out of having the least, right? So you look at all the matches that they've had and the dance partners that they've had to deal with. Right?
Oh, G-O-D, K-E-S.
I mean, we're not talking about the best of the best here, right? Whereas a Young Bucks, right, they work a Roppongi Vice. They work, just picking names. They may not have even.
Taguchi and Ricochet.
Right. The quality of opponents, I mean.
It's much greater.
Right. So just I think. Is. Yeah. I mean, I think War Machine made the most of a bad situation, right? And that's saying something. I can't remember the last time I really looked forward to a tag match that didn't involve War Machine. That being said, I said the last week that, you know, at first I was like, man, I don't see how the Young Bucks could win this thing. I think people are voting because they're Bullet Club and they're the Elite and, you know, if they're entertaining and they've had great matches elsewhere. But, you know, you look at you go up and down they've had a lot of good matches in New Japan. And someone even brought up to us that, you know, not having Roppongi Vice in there in the mix kind of hurt their heart a little bit in the sense that a lot of the matches involved Roppongi Vice. Okay. I just, like I said, to me, War Machine made the most. They made chicken salad out of chicken shit. And I think they deserve the nod, especially this year. And I think it's fair to say that at least you could have an argument on the junior tag side that the Young Bucks weren't even the best junior tag in the year, right?
Yeah, you could definitely make that argument that a team like Taguchi and Ricochet, for example, did more than the Bucks did in New Japan this year.
Right, and that's you know, when you look at the heavyweight division, I can't – who else had better matches?
War Machine?
Or at least were the glue that helped make it a decent match was War Machine.
Yeah, it's not like we can count Elgin and Cobb.
No, we can't.
Or Best Friends.
No, we can't. Or Ishii or Goto.
Suzuki and Iizuka, right?
Well, we're never counting them. But that was my point, and that was my thought process. So I did go War Machine first. I did go Buck second. And for me, I nominated them. And I think that they were strong throughout the entire year. And that's Bushi, Sanada, and Evil. I really feel like they have to be recognized for, and again, it's such a minor thing at this point, but I think it has to be recognized that they're the longest reigning never champions. There is some stability with them. And I think that to a number, they put on a good match.
Name all the great Never Trios title matches from this year.
I get it. And I could easily go to Taguchi Ricochet. I could have easily gone that. But I just didn't think they had the impact. And again, I'm not saying that
you want that ruthless aggression.
I'm not saying that, you know, they were the be all to end all. I just think that, I don't know. I went, listen, my meaningless third place vote, I went with Sanada, Evil, and Bushi.
Hey, it's not meaningless. None of these votes, all these votes are getting points. It's all adding up. So
it is all adding.
So Listen, all these
right. That's where I went.
Every vote counts. Most improved wrestler, I'm going to go with Juice Robinson, simply because, I mean, I've enjoyed watching his progression throughout the year so much. And even if you look back in at 2016, you look back to them, Juice's progression, and having a singles match at the Dome with Cody, and all that leading up, all that building up towards beating Omega in the G1 and having a killer match with him, and just being involved in a lot of meaty, juicy stuff throughout the year and getting a lot more respect from the fans. You know, when you see Juice Robinson in a match now, in a big match, you're kind of excited, you know? So, like, I look at this category as, like, who have I enjoyed watching grow the most throughout this year, and who has made the most, you know, leaps and bounds, and to me, that guy is hands down Juice. So he's my number one.
I think Juice is a lot of people's number one, and booking has a lot to do with that.
Yeah,
he's been given the opportunities, and there's and not only has he been given the opportunities, he's taken advantage of the opportunities, which is important, because you can be given the opportunity, but you can fall flat on your fucking face. He has not. And I think he's one of those guys that people want to see succeed, just because he's there is that little, you know, the fact that he came from another world, and he was stripped down and rebuilt, and look at what we've made, right? And I think there's a lot of that. There is a little bit of fan chest pumping when it comes to Juice, right? That being said, as well, you got to give Juice the credit for taking advantage of the situation that he's been put in. So yes, I think the fans are agreeing with what I have voted for my first place. Juice is that logical pick, right? I think you have to go Juice. I did go Juice. Second, I went. I did go Evil, right?
Wow,
I did go Evil, because here's the thing. It wasn't that long ago. Watanabe was sitting in fucking Jersey. Couldn't get booked. Right? It wasn't that long ago. And again, he's made good on a gimmick that is somewhat shoulder shruggy. Right? Let's be truthful. The fucking sickle. The lasers.
And the lasers. Let's not forget the lasers. And I think he has a gong now at the beginning of his theme.
Okay. Somewhat cringy, right?
Yeah, a bit. You can argue that point, but
look at that fucking shit on anybody else. That might be an anchor, right?
How did Evil do in the position that he was placed in? Because I think that's kind of what you're building towards. Like, how did, you know, he beat Okada in the G1. He got put in the big spot at Sumo Hall, King of Pro Wrestling. Are you taking a lot of that into context here with your second place vote?
It is. And again, I try not to let the booking dictate to me how they improved, right? But again, you have to be able to take advantage. It does play into it. But again, you have to take advantage of the situation, right? So if you're given the ball, you got to run with it.
Got to grab the brass ring, pal.
That's right. And I think in both cases, both of those guys have. Look, he's in a stable. He's in a group, a faction. That's arguably the hottest one in pro wrestling, in Los Ingobernables. And he is the second fiddle. He is the muscle of the team, right? And he is a bit of a gatekeeper at this point. But what a gatekeeper he is, right?
Yeah, he's a good one.
I mean, in ring, I think he's improved tremendously.
He's got more credibility than Goto at this point.
To me, he does, right? Or at least he's very much on par. I'll give him that much. Very much on par. That's saying something. I think that's third. I went Kawato.
I know you're going Kawato. You love Kawato.
I fucking love this guy so much.
It's pretty good.
I love him. I just love his fire. I love his energy. I love again, when he's put in a spot with a Tanahashi in a match, and he's begging for a tag, and he takes abuse wonderfully, right? He knows how to take abuse. His offense has gotten much sharper. His timing, his energy is full throttle. Love him. He got my third place vote.
Biggest disappointment in 2017. I mean, I really do believe that most people are going to be picking the Shibata and Honma injuries, just because, I mean, you know, you kind of said it all when you were talking about that Okada Shibata match and how that, you know, one of the best matches of this guy's career, and I'm talking about Shibata, was, you know, it was also probably the end of his career. One of the best matches of his career was also the end. So that's what kind of makes this very, very sad. And, of course, Honma, you know, what could be said? This was a guy who wasn't supposed to walk again, and now he's back to taking bumps. So, I mean, two very, very scary situations that, you know, calling them a disappointment is probably even a bit of an understatement. So I think most people are going to pick that as number one. That's probably what I'll end up going with. So I think we're looking at the second and third place nominees here as the most interesting. I'm probably going to go with heavyweight tag division, just because, I mean, come on. You have us having your booking meetings on air for you, and you don't even take advantage of that. You know, you have built-in booking help. So I'm probably going to go with that. Second place, third place. Ugh, Suzuki, never title run.
Yeah, that was horse crap. It still is.
and
right.
And another Goto match is how we're going to fix this.
Yeah. excuse me. Yeah, of course, I went with Shibata and Honma.
And if you don't, you're a terrible person.
Really, what kind of human being are you? Here's the thing about that, too. And again, my second place vote was heavyweight tag as well. And I think my third place was David Finlay. I just wish they would do something with the poor guy. But to cap off my number one in Shibata and Honma, the thing that strikes to me, I don't think they're replaceable. Like, I I really feel like there's a hole missing, especially with Shibata.
Oh yeah, well, they were so unique. I mean, even Honma was a unique character.
Yeah, and which had the possibility of being of running its course, in a sense of he was the lovable loser and he was starting to pick up wins.
Hey, people still love to see him and watch him wrestle.
Absolutely. But for me, and I think a lot of people, that the Shibata one is the one that's irreplaceable.
Yeah.
That's the one where you know, it's good that you're going to promote new people, and it's good that you're going to give new people opportunity. That's one that's very tough to replace.
You think that if Shibata had not been, had this not happened to Shibata in this match, do you think we would have been looking at him? I mean, it's impossible to say, but do you think we would have been looking at him for like at least like an intercontinental title slot at the Dome?
Yeah.
Like Shibata Tanahashi at the Dome?
I mean, I think it's a good real good possibility, right? I mean, he's always one of those guys that everyone projects more than what he actually has given, you know, or has, you know, the opportunities. Everybody wants him as intercontinental title runner. But I think he would be in the mix and in the conversation, right? He always is. Well, why wouldn't he be? He would probably be in a fucking battle royal and we'd be screaming our
heads off. Probably.
What the fuck?
He'd win at least.
Yeah, we'll see.
Maybe. Jado eliminates him.
Yeah. I think that one hurts the most. I mean, just and injury aside, and the fact that they're no longer wrestling is, that's hurtful enough, but I just think that gap that is left from Shibata's absence is really telling of what he meant for this company.
Unsung hero of 2017. I can tell you my exact order for this. I'm going Ishii, Elgin, and El Desperado.
You know, I looked back and I saw, I wanted to see the comparison of how Ishii and how Michael Elgin have been treated in the company, because those are my two. Ishii's never had an intercontinental title run.
No.
Ishii has never had a never title run, right?
No, he's had a never title run.
I meant a never six man. Right?
Never six man. I don't. Well, it's kind of impossible to say with those titles, but I don't believe so.
Okay.
Is that a never title run?
Yeah, never. But that's it, right?
Yeah, that's about it as far as like single, you know, titles in general. I mean, that never open weight title. was the one he held.
So you look at that, and then you look at Elgin. Elgin's had an Intercontinental title run.
Yep. Yeah, he's been in some big matches.
Elgin's been a never six-man champion.
Yes. For what it's worth. You and I have as well, but go on.
All right. But I so, again, if we're talking about booking and we're talking about how people were treated, again, 2017, I'm comparing everything, mind you. They're both like a three-year run, two-year run, not just this year. But even so, it's like those two guys, man, are they just don't get their due. But looking at it, Michael Elgin's had a little bit more opportunity even in the past couple years. So
I'm saying some of this might rest on him.
On Elgin?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, yes, it has to.
The non-pushing?
Some of it has to, sure. I mean, but listen, there's a reason why Okada's being pushed. I mean, listen, I don't want to be as silly and as basic as saying, oh, my God, he's not Japanese, so he's not getting pushed.
Can I tell you something that I've thought about Michael Elgin for a long time now? And this really is, I mean, this is something to take into consideration. And this has to play this has to be a factor. As great of a wrestler as he is, and make no mistake about it, he is a great wrestler who's delivered some just awesome, fantastic matches this year, many of which you can vote for in these awards. You know, as great as he is, he doesn't really have much of a personality. I'll just be blunt. He has very little personality, quite frankly. He's bland when he comes out. It's like, oh boy, here's Michael Elgin. Nobody give him a mic. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, I hear you. I mean, that's probably the biggest complaint people have of him, right?
He's just very just dry and not very – there's not a whole – again, great wrestler, love watching him perform, but not a great – not the best personality in pro wrestling. Not the best personality in New Japan.
Listen, I think it's fair. I mean, I think it's a fair criticism.
And not only that, it doesn't really – go ahead. Go ahead.
Listen,
he's been around a while, is what I was going to say. That's all I was going to say. He's been around a long time.
A couple years now, right? Yeah. I mean, look, again, not everybody can be at the top at the same time. I understand that. I don't know. It is what it is.
I mean, I don't expect him to be like Kenny Omega and cracking jokes to the camera and... You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm just something I've – that's one of the things I've always felt that was missing from Michael Elgin. What I'm trying to say here, Damon, is he needs a little more sizzle with that steak. That's all.
All right. Well, what about Ishii?
Ishii, like, his steak is the sizzle. Like, that's the thing about him. He doesn't need anything. He's okay. No, Ishii, you don't want to hear Ishii talk. You don't want to – No, Ishii's a badass who is going to come out and he's going to chop you down like a tree.
Okay. Do you think it's what Elgin's going with?
Yeah, but it's not working. It's not working. He needs he's a guy who needs some sizzle.
Okay. So in your mind, Ishii has everything that we're looking for. And he's underappreciated as opposed to Elgin, who might be missing a piece or two, but is still underappreciated.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's fair. I think that's fair. Looking at their runs, I'm looking at Ishii. I'm looking at Michael Elgin, who did have an opportunity at the second biggest belt in the company. And who else? Give me other names that have had that opportunity. You know what I mean? Goto, Shinsuke. Tanahashi. Ooh. Yeah, exactly.
Gender.
Right. these are names, right? And he had that opportunity. Yeah, you know, so for me always talking about how underappreciated he is, that's saying something. I think it'd be a fucking disgrace if he's in the Battle Royal.
Absolutely. For a worker as good as he is to be reduced to the New Japan Rumble, that's a bit of a slap in the face.
That's going to be a tough pill to swallow for me. But I went Ishii. I went Elgin. Who did I do for my third?
You probably did Taguchi.
I think you're right.
You were in love with Taguchi. Actually, yeah, you probably did do Taguchi. You were in love with him throughout these awards. You petitioned so hard for him to be in Junior of the Year, and he wound up on there, and he's in here
he's
too.
There.
So
listen, he's doing all right.
You can make a case for Taguchi. It's just you kind of saw a lot more in him this year than I did. That's all.
That's all right. He's getting plenty of votes.
okay, good. I'm happy. I like Taguchi.
All right.
You know, Team 69.
Yep. Topless.
Yeah, right. Listen, we've got three more categories here. I've got to eat.
Let's do it.
2017 Show of the Year. As good as the Tokyo Dome was, which it was an amazing show, that is probably going to be my second place vote because, man, that Dominion was just like otherworldly this year. So I'm going Dominion first place.
I went. I did do Dome
because you were there.
I was there. That does have a lot to do with it. But
built in bias.
But it was what an event. I thought, after intermission, I'd be hard pressed to find another show that match. Yeah,
four and a half star match.
Yeah,
it's right in succession.
Yeah, one beating the other. You know, it was pretty amazing. Dominion second. Dominion was an outstanding show. What did I do? Osaka or did I do, I'm always forgetting my third place votes.
You probably did Long Beach.
I didn't vote for Long Beach. somebody put match of the year, Damon versus alcohol, Long Beach.
alcohol wins.
I did the job. All right.
Damon's always doing the job.
Fucking, I was looking at the lights, literally looking at the lights of Long Beach.
He's like, oh, and 1,000.
Oh fuck! I was the Goto to Long Beach.
Right.
I can never win the big one against Long Beach.
Long Beach was Suzuki.
Yeah,
Gosh pile driver.
Fucking ate that one. Yep, I was a young boy versus
Ten
Suzuki.
Guys right in.
I was just getting slapped around and hit with chairs against Long Beach alcohol. All right.
Okay, so you're going with that.
Yep. Show of the year. I think it did like a new beginning.
Okay. Listeners, favorite wrestler and least favorite. Favorite, probably gonna go with Ishii. He's my guy. And least favorite, Toru Yano, just because he's out of all the things in New Japan that aren't my cup of tea, he is the most not cup of tea ish.
We're making up words.
You know what I'm saying.
I do.
We have such a command over the English language on this podcast. It is amazing.
I know. Putting two microphones in front of us, dopes. Favorite, I went with Okada. But that being said, Kenny Omega was right up there. But I did go Okada.
You are a younger crowd, so.
Colin, I have you. I'll make mention right now. I have a T-shirt on, the cleaner. 8-bit Kenny Omega shirt right now, as a matter of fact, that I bought from Hot Topic, as a matter of fact.
Oh, my God.
Hey, they had a sale. It was like $10. Uh-huh. I was like, I got it for $10, shipping included.
Yeah, $10. For $10, I would do that, too. Who am I kidding?
$10? I'm fucking all over that. Wearing that right now, proudly wearing. Least favorite, Colin? Take a guess. I'll give you two guesses.
Least favorite wrestler.
Yes.
Who do you complain about the most on here? Who do you
Colin complain? Miller.
Yeah, Colin Miller, least favorite wrestler. Is Azuka in there?
Good guess, but no.
Okay, not Azuka.
That is right up there.
What do you hate more than? You're going Tai Chi.
Absolutely.
Tai Chi. Yeah, I was thinking, who does he hate more than Azuka? Oh, ding ding ding.
Yeah, and that one I struggled with because I had Cody, I had Tongaloa in the mix.
Ooh.
I had
poor Cody.
Of course, Izuka in there.
He's not even a New Japan wrestler.
That was it. Yep, Tai Chi. I mean, I was like, who do I really hate? Who do I have the fast forward button? You know, ready, locked and loaded when I watch. And it's him. You know, there are rumors that he is leaving New Japan.
Really?
Yes, there are.
It's not going to be a dry eye in the crowd once everyone listens to this podcast.
Yeah, I know.
Here's that news.
All right, so I'm going to close with this, Colin. That's who we voted for. Again, people, please get in your votes. Colin, I'm going to ask one question.
One more question, Damon, because I got to go.
All right. I'm going to give you one question. Give me one legend name who you think is going to be in the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
Oh, I was going to say Kabuki, but he's retiring at the end of December.
Rats.
Like right before the Dome. Well, I mean, Haku.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I was going to say Billy Gunn's making another run.
Hey, that could happen.
Scott Norton. Scott Norton. There's another name from the past. All right, very good. I just want to see where you stood on that. I haven't heard no names as of yet. Nothing has been confirmed.
Super Delphin.
Listen, if that happens, you'll hear my voice screaming. You'll be like, there's Damon screaming his head off. Super Dolphins head. All right, Colin, I know you're hungry. I know we both have things to do today. I hope we put together a fine show. Wrap it up, if you will.
All righty, so there you have it, folks. Remember the 2017 New Japan PuroCast year-end awards. Voting closes Friday, December 15th, so you have a little while yet. I know I'm kind of in that same boat with you. I like to cast my ballot at the very last second, but you still have time to do it. Pinned at the top of our Facebook and Twitter pages, so check that out. NewJapanPuroCast.com, links to Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Stitcher, and of course you can subscribe to us on the Great Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network as well. We're usually up there every Monday. And listen, I know it's been a little bit of a rough patch here after Power Struggle, but we're getting through it. We're powering through it, and we are on our way, before you know it, to the Tokyo Dome on January the 4th. That is all for me, Damon. Anything else you want to add?
Just real quickly, again, just a big thank you to everyone. We've reached many goals. For our first goal was $1,000. Then we kind of threw out $2,000, $3,000. We're over $3,000 for this Takayama Fund that we're personally handing over to Minoru Suzuki, which is going to be fun.
He slaps you right across your face.
My goodness. I don't want that at all. I'm giving the man $3,000. But we're proud. We're proud of each and every one of you. And again, you will be put over in that conversation. The wrestling world is aware of the efforts that, especially Eric from the Classic Board and the Real Hero Archive. Again, if I could have a little say in it, I'm happy to do so. But really, all credit should go to the great Eric and all that he does. So thank you, everyone who contributed. You should feel good about yourselves. $3,000. Being converted over to yen, that's going to be handed over, and that's going to be that. So good time by us, and thank you again, everyone.
All righty, so on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name's Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys right here next week.